Former CIA agent Michael Scheuer isn't a happy fellow. The man who was responsible for getting Osama bin Laden in the late 1990s says that under John McCain, Barack Obama, or Hillary Clinton, bin Laden and his allies will be huge winners. Scheuer's explosive new book criticizes Democrats and Republicans alike, all part of a foreign policy establishment that he says is not serious about going after America's foes. Scheuer says the next president of the United States is doomed to continue to fail the policies put in place by both parties since the presidency of George H.W. Bush. At the conclusion of the first part of our interview last night, Scheuer blasted the U.S.'s relationship with the government of Israel. Scheuer says it makes America less safe, not more. In the second part of our interview with the author of Marching Toward Hell, WMNF asked him if he feels the same way about the Bush administration's cozy relationship with the Saudi Arabia government.
Of course. We're in the absurd position, sir, of, first of all, being involved in other people's religious wars, and then being the champion of each side. We're the champion of the Israelis, and we're the champion and protector of the Saudis. There can't be a much more ridiculous position that you could imagine.
We're speaking with Michael Scheuer. He's the author of the new book, Marching Toward Hell, America and Islam After Iraq. He, of course, wrote the previous New York Times bestselling book, Imperial Hubris. And in your book, Michael Scheuer, you write that from Ahmed Chalabi to Fareed Zakaria to Zalmay Khalilzad to Waleed Faris, the current roster of these type of Muslim experts have argued that America should act to install secular democracies in Muslim lands without, quote, a shred of evidence that such an action would be welcomed by anyone except the experts and their westernized friends. Can you talk about that?
Yes, sir. There's no market for our kind of secular democracy in the Islamic world. Even these people who are supposed to be the experts and who apparently are Muslims, some of them also, need to realize or should realize that there's no separation between church and state in the Islamic world. And when we tell the Iraqis or the Afghans that our secular democracy is a wonderful thing, it brings prosperity and jobs and all that kind of stuff, that's absolutely true from our perspective. But what a Muslim hears is turn your back on God and embrace worldly things. And they're ready to fight because of that. So it's just our experts are people who want us to do things that they can't do for themselves. And it's a shame because traditionally exiles from overseas or foreigners have been a great help to us, whether it was Alexander Solzhenitsyn or Fermi the scientist.
I want to ask you about the war on terror played here at home in the United States. And I ask you that because there have been some high-profile terrorism trials here so far, and most of them, one could argue, have been busts. Most notably here in the Tampa Bay area, we had a very high-profile case with a former university professor, Samuel Arion, who was arrested and had a 121-page indictment against him. Ultimately, he was basically found innocent. He pleaded guilty to one count the government could essentially say face. What do you make of these arrests that we've seen so far in the United States, and do you understand why some people are very skeptical about the threat of Islamic terrorism based on what's happened so far in this country?
Yeah, I think I do understand why they're skeptical, but it's also, I think people should realize we're involved in a situation that we've not faced before. Traditionally, law enforcement in the United States acts after the fact, and now we need to break up these people ahead of time, and it's much more difficult. But I think part of the responsibility lies with the FBI, who seems to only be able to conduct sting operations. And those tend to blow up in people's faces. That we have enemies in this country from the Islamist circle is clearly undeniable. Whether we'll ever be able to stop them is entirely another question, because our politicians in both parties have allowed the discussion about open borders to drift away from national security and into the ideas of refugee rights and human rights and racism. And so, really, America is wide open to an attack. We shouldn't take these botched trials as an indication that there is no threat.
Well, let me just pick up on that. And we talk about, of course, immigration has been a huge issue the last couple of years. And we do hear our politicians talking about securing the borders. That seems like a line in deflection of criticism from people who think that there are too many, quite frankly, Mexicans or people from Central America who've infiltrated our borders to the south. Do you, Michael Scheuer, do truly believe, though, whether it's Mexico or maybe perhaps from Canada, which we saw in 1999 possibly happen, that there is a threat to our country based on the fact that we don't lock down our borders more securely?
I think it's only common sense that we have to be aware that it's not hard to get into the United States. The only way we'll ever stop any Al-Qaeda guy coming into America is if they're stupid enough now to go through Windsor, Detroit, or Miami International. The borders remain wide open. And, you know, some people probably are racist in their attitude, but anyone with a little common sense knows that America needs immigrants. We always have. But there's no real reason they can't come in an orderly manner, like my children did when we adopted them from Korea. It just seems to me that when we're attacked again by Al-Qaeda and they blame the intelligence officers and the police department, it's going to be foolish because the police especially have an undocumented pool of aliens of about 11 or 12 million to cope with. How are they ever going to protect us?
Michael Shore, last question for you. And that is, we're of course in the middle of a presidential campaign right now, and it's going to be one of obviously three people who will be our next president. Do you see the mindset, as you talk about in your book, the foreign policy mindset in this country changing at all based on who the president will be this coming November?
They seem all to be status quo politicians. They've all signed up with Israel. They're all supporters of the Saudis. None of them want to take drastic action about energy. None of them really want to do anything about the borders. I think the major change we would see would be under Mr. McCain. He said he intends to fight more wars, so he'll have to bring back conscription right away.
Indeed, indeed. Michael Shore, fascinating book and fascinating life you've led, certainly. Going back to when you were at Alex Station, if I could ask you that, what are your thoughts about the CIA, the company that you worked at for so long? There was so much controversy there, especially back when after George Tenet left. What are your thoughts about George Tenet?
I think Mr. Tenet never understood the difference between cheerleading and leading. He was great for morale, but substantively, he always seemed to back away from giving the hard story to the president, either under either party.
You're also critical of Richard Clark. Do you still feel that strongly about him?
Oh, I think so. I think they all talked a good game. They were telling the Congress, for example, in 1996, that Al-Qaeda was capable of getting a nuclear weapon into the United States, and yet every time they had an opportunity to kill bin Laden, they refused to take it. I think there's just a tremendous amount of people who are happy to talk the talk, but no one wants to walk.